Episode 111 of Outlander Cast is brought to you by BarkBox. For a free extra month of BarkBox, visit BarkBox.com/OutlanderCast when you subscribe to a 6 or 12 month plan.
I was going to, I'd never leave you again.
You scared me half to death.
You're all right, man.
We have all our limbs.
I'm Joseph Oliver. This is my wife Patsy and our daughter.
James Fraser. My wife. Claire. This, this may seem strange, but... where are we?
We call it Lake Pearl. What we mean to ask is, what island is this?
You're not on an island at all. You're on the mainland, in the colony of Georgia.
Georgia?
America.
All the way from the Hilton Hotel in Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz. Welcome, my name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I can't believe we are here at the Hilton Hotel in front of like 100 people.
Everybody say hello!
My legs are literally shaking right now. I'm terrified. And you know what? I've also understood why my mother said never run with knives.
What is that even? Why?
Because I don't want my head chopped off.
Oh, yeah.
That was not fun.
No.
Not fun.
Not a good day for Galus. Yeah, but
I think she's had better days.
Oh, she's had many better days. So we are live right now. If you're hearing this as a recording, we were live, but we were live from the Hilton Hotel in Providence with the Outlander Cast season finale party. We have people from all over North America who have come to join us. So give a little hello, everybody. Give a nice whoop.
And we've all been drinking, so it's been a good time.
Hey, Sassenach wasted and proud. So excited. Before we give our kilt reading, I just want, because we have some audience participation, I just want everyone to yell out their number when I call out, and I'm going to count to three, and I just want you to yell out your kilt reading. It's going to sound crazy. It's going to be a whole mush mesh mutt, but we're going to see what we come up with. Ready? So one, two, three. I heard a lot of 4.5 and 5s. What did you hear?
I don't know. I didn't even hear. I just heard a big mishmash of everything.
You like that word? So, Blake, what was your kilt rating for the season finale of Outlander season 3?
Okay. So, I've given the same kilt rating for the past, I think, 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, really uncreative.
I know.
I love you.
You've done the same too, my darling.
I know. That's why I'm saying it, because I always give the same one. Let's be real.
It's going to be a 4.3 for me again.
Okay.
Because there is... What?
Shame. Now we got some love.
Holly's got my back.
I've got Game of Thrones shame.
I know. I need the shame bell
shame.
Right now.
Shame.
4.3, and I say 4.3 because there's, again, so much to love about this episode. So much. And like, you get, like, teary-eyed, and you want to just kill Galus, and... all of those things, mm-hmm. which ended up happening.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's just so much where I'm like, oh my God, my brain hurts.
Is this because you're not a book reader too, do you think? Do you feel like as a non-book reader, your brain just hurt?
Yes. My brain hurt all season.
Oh, you poor thing.
I know.
Have a drink. Right?
Sam Winter, go ahead, get the bar, keep drinking.
All right, so ask me what mine is. You'll never guess.
My darling.
Yes.
What was your kilt rating?
My kilt rating was a 5.
Get the F out of here.
Yay! I had so much fun. Like okay. I say every episode, I was in the voice. It was so fun. I laughed, I cried, I did everything.
Hi, my name's Mary. You were the best thing ever.
I had a blast. I had a blast.
Yes, I did.
And there was fifes.
And you did too.
And I have a fife. I just want to play along.
Well, give me your GBG, the good, bad, and great.
Okay, my good was the dancing reference because I can't move like that. I can't move at all. Like those dancers by the fire.
Like twerking?
I'm trying. I can't. And I am in awe of any kind of dance, whether it was the Druids dance, whether it's ballet, the Nutcracker, anything, and even that. But then with the fire and you're feeling it, and then Claire was feeling it, because reading it, I didn't feel that. I felt it in a different magical way, but I didn't feel this. And seeing them spin, and the Druids dance is one of my favorite songs. Mm-hmm. It is one of my favorite scenes. Does anyone else feel that same way with the Druids dance? Does anyone else love it? Yeah. Right? So then seeing it, seeing magic, seeing this beautiful mysticism that we know nothing, Jon Snow. I just loved seeing it in a different culture, and the Druids dance that wasn't the Druids dance. There you go.
I got you.
It was just beautiful. I loved the costumes, the music, everything. So that was my good. My bad. Galus looked really weird dead. Am I alone? Am I alone? She looked like when a Barbie doll gets her head ripped off, and you're like, meh, you're plastic and weird. So, do you know what? You had sisters.
Yes, I played with Barbie dolls.
Did you
every
rip
day.
Their heads off ever?
Yeah.
Right?
I tied their hair together so it was in a knot, and they had to cut the hair in order to... Oh, yeah.
God,
I was terrible
so
to my
mean.
Sisters.
But I didn't like the look of dead Galus. I was so in it. I was like, way to go, Claire. Swing that machete. What is that doll?
Although I was into the finger twitching. I thought that was really
I didn't
cool.
even notice. I just saw the face.
I actually noticed something that you didn't.
You did.
Yes.
Way to be. So
yes.
That was my bad, was just the weird dead Galus that they kept showing. And I was like, we get it. And then my great was a tie. And I don't usually do ties.
That's my thing.
But it was Jamie's plan. Yup. Yeah. Yup. And I'm sad to say goodbye right now to Lottie. I just feel like her acting was so stellar, and she's such a villain, and I loved her. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad she's dead because she was so nasty. But I just had to get major snaps because she was awesome. So that's my tie. The plan was winning, and then I just had to add in my extra because it's the finale.
I
so gotcha. There you go. What's your GBG?
All right, the good. The ship scene. The whole thing with the CGI.
This is your good?
This is the good.
Okay.
The CGI, even Matt Roberts, who we're going to get into directing, did, I think, a pretty good job with this scene. There was that one moment of, excuse my language, but like, holy shit. You know, like that wave is coming. And anybody, we got some locals here. Anybody else see The Perfect Storm? Okay. Right? Didn't you get that feeling of The Perfect Storm?
Yeah.
When like George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg are looking at that wave and he's like, hit the thing. And he's going.
That's what I think about when I'm boogie boarding. That's all I could think of is that's me in Narragansett Town
time
Beach.
Out. When did
being
you
like,
ever
here
boogie
comes
board?
A big wave. It's like this big. Oh my God.
When did you ever boogie board?
Prior to you.
Yeah.
You don't like the sand, so
that
we don't
was
go to the ocean.
Well over 10 years ago. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you remember that.
But little teenage Mary seeing a 5-foot wave. That's how I felt.
So and it was just that one quick moment, and it was tremendous. It had a really good feel for what the episode was trying to convey. This massive thing that Claire and Jamie are trying to overcome, and they get swept away. And then, of course, followed up by the imagery of Claire in the water. And the thing that I most noticed was her hair.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice that too?
Yeah.
Her hair, the way that it was like waving, it almost seemed like it was CGI, but it wasn't, because that we seen it in the behind the scenes
Correct.
Thing. Right. See, like how I'm pointing to the screen like it's actually there? It's not. So that was my good. I actually thought that this portion was very good. The bad.
Uh-oh.
The bad.
Mike.
What?
You're just prepping me and I'm ready.
I know. When there's a couple of things here. When Claire's like, go that way, towards the drumming.
Oh, and there was no drumming.
And like, I didn't really hear the drumming. Maybe I was, I can't hear it right, but like, I just, go that way before the drumming, you know, like, and Jamie just runs right up and, oh, so where are we going, Sassenach? I just thought that
okay,
was...
Okay, so the lack of drumming when she mentioned drumming. It, I'm with you on that.
It was just... I didn't like that. And
maybe it was in the subtitles. Maybe it was in the... If we get the closed captions
and
on.
And then we had the intercutting... I know people are going to kill me, but the intercutting of the summoning with Eben Dawe. I actually didn't like that. And the reason why I didn't like that is because it's spoon-feeding you as a viewer. It's telling you... This is what we're trying to accomplish. Whereas you guys, all of you here, you're smart, and you're smart because you're here with us. But and everybody that's listening,
so humble.
But
so humble.
You guys are all smart viewers. You all love Outlander. You should be able to tell, and I know you know. You should be able to see that the dancing at Eben Dawe is totally reminiscent of the summoning. And for them to spoon feed that to you, I don't want to say it's insulting because it's not, but it's almost like.
Wait, you didn't like the intercutting with the druids dance?
I didn't.
I had a lot of fun with that.
Oh, I'm sure that you did.
What does that even mean? What does that even mean? I'm sure you did.
Oh, I'm saying that. I'm sure you liked it. All right, and the great. And the great. You ready for this?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
At the very end, it was that wordless recognition between Claire and Jamie being in Georgia. And when he puts his head on her head, and it's just like, okay, we're here. You know what? I'm relieved that we're alive, but guess what? We can start anew. Our lives are now finally beginning. And then between that, the camera work at the beach with the helicopter going over the beach and seeing Jamie and Claire this big,
yes.
And then going into the Americas, and then hashtag bear flare.
All
oh my
the bear
God!
Flare. All the bear flare in this episode.
All the bear flare right there.
Yes.
That whole scene, pants off moment. Total pants off moment.
You don't have any pants on.
Exactly. A total pants off moment because it was unbelievable.
Love it.
It was a terrific, terrific scene.
So, what do some of our party attendees have to say for their kilt reading and the GBGs.
All right, this one comes from April Steele. April, say hi. She says, 4.5 kilts. Really wanted to see Captain Leonard and his demise on the porpoise. That extra chase would have added more peril. I think I would agree with you, by the way.
You don't even know what she's talking about.
I just like the idea of more peril. However, probably the best love scene of all three seasons. And Lord John Grey saves the world. Again.
Right.
And Claire has some stellar mermaid hair. Oh, my
yes.
God. Yes, we are totally on board with that. What do we got next?
Stephanie Beaudry, I hope I'm saying that right, gave it a 5 kilts, just like me. I'm so happy I got to read hers.
Yay.
This was definitely one of my favorite episodes. The intimacy between Jamie and Claire was amazing. The underwater scene with him rescuing Claire was done perfectly. Stephanie was tearing up as he was telling her that he would kill her if she died. And Lord John Grey just makes Stephanie's heart leap. He really put Captain Leonard back in his place. She can't wait to see what season 4 has in store for us.
And Megan Rose Pierce says 4.9 kilts.
Ooh.
Good. The parallel with the standing stone lantern dancing. We're not friends. It was just beautiful, and Lord John's commanding presence.
Do you know that I'm going to recreate this tonight just to haunt you? I'm going to turn on the flashlight on my phone and spin. Just keep spinning.
The quick death for Galus, and I hate when these scenes are dragged out. The bad was some cheesy dialogue for wee Ian and even Jamie at times. It's too melodramatic. And that kiss in the water, really? I've been told it's a rescue, Beth, but I feel better. Of course. And the great was the long hug. The storm was given its due, and the last few shots on the beach and the long embrace, the feeling that the end gives you, it was amazing. And the looks in their eyes as they see their path become clear. So one of the things I've always said is about this show and the podcast that we do here is how does this show, Outlander, or anything you watch, whatever it is, how does it make you feel? What do you feel when you watch television? Do you want to just go and get out of your own head, get out of your own face and just be like, man, I want to look like Jamie for like 10 minutes.
You kind of do. You're wearing a kilt tonight.
Yeah, but I have about 30 extra pounds on them. That's not muscle. No, do you ever want to just feel like Claire and just feel like I'm a badass? How does Outlander make you feel? Tell me, guys, how does Outlander make you feel? Anything? Scream.
Happy. We got a happy.
Regardless, what we're doing here and what we've done here with you guys is we wanted to see how we feel. And how I feel about this, even though I gave it a 4.3.
Yeah. What?
I did.
That?
I felt good.
Okay.
I felt good. I felt like we're on to new, better things. And we'll get into that right now. Marvin, are you ready to get into the rest of this show?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, well, this episode title was The Eye of the Storm. It was written by Matt B. Roberts and Tony Graffia, two of the original writers of this show. And I feel like you could tell. It felt like we were getting away from the newer writers and we were getting into the more familiar writers who are with us on this journey and who have been there from the beginning. It was also, surprisingly, directed by... Apparently, wow. I'm getting called. Wow.
By who?
I have no idea.
All your friends are here.
Well, shut that shit right down. Okay.
Shh. Facebook Live.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Mark Zuckerberg. Why are you surprised that Matt directed this episode?
Well, because he's a writer. He's never directed anything before in his life, ever. And here he is. And here, see, these guys over here, for those of you listening to the podcast, you're not getting it, but these guys over here, they're from the area, and every time I use my Boston accent, they're going to drink.
Oh my God, yes.
So
yes.
Guess who...
I like this game.
Guess who's getting hashtag Sassenach wasted tonight? Matt Roberts has never directed anything in his life, and here he is getting the season 3 finale of Outlander. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's great. Ron Moore directed an episode of Battlestar Galactica. However, it was not a finale. So either way, I think he did a serviceable job. Serviceable.
What?
We'll get into it.
Keep moving.
Director of photography. Again, I hate to say this. I was very impressed. Michael Swan. It was not my boy Steve McNutt.
I
but
know.
That's okay. That's
you can
okay.
Still love multiple people.
I can, but Steve and I were bros, and he's admitted it to the world.
It's okay.
We're buddies.
You can let Michael Swan into this club. Yeah. I think he'll be cool with it.
So, how are we going to tackle this one today?
Okay, so we've been talking about time travel and how Galus and Claire are connected via time. So let's go backwards in time. Okay, let's start off in Georgia. We're going to work backwards. You cool with this? Because this is the new beginning.
Yes.
And a lot of us haven't yet been able to see the season 4 preview. So I just feel like this is our new beginning and this is where we can start right here. So they land in Georgia.
Yep.
In Georgia. You know who's from Georgia? Ashley.
That? Oh,
Ashley's
hey, girl.
Ashley's from Georgia. So if you've missed the Minute by Minute live blog, you can now read it as a wonderful recap that she did alongside Nikki. And it's fantastic. But
Shameless
they're from
plug.
Georgia. And... how do you feel about this new start?
Well, I'll tell you how I feel about them being in the United States.
Okay.
Bam! Yep. A winner!
Yep.
Because I called it. I called them being in the United States at the end of this episode. That outlandish theory has come true. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I do. No, I actually really like it. I like it because they're starting their new lives. It's and again, the direction of this episode and why I think Matt Roberts did a serviceable job. It's because he got a lot of the great imagery ready. And in these final moments, let me tell you this. I loved the back half of this episode, which is why we're starting with the back half. I loved it. I thought it was phenomenal. With the ship and going on the beach and even the Eye of the Storm, it was like suspension of disbelief a little bit. And okay, whatever, I'll buy into it.
That's the whole point of the show.
I know, I know. but one of those, that line... if you die now, I swear I'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, 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 yes. That is exactly what I would say. That, because I would be like, oh my God, I'm just kill you if you die because I've gone this long. I've been 20 years without you. You came 200 years back in time and then you're going to die in the ocean like Jack in Titanic? No.
Never let go. And then she does. Worst ever.
I still can't get over that.
Okay, so I loved just the scenery. I loved the swooping. I loved the excitement with the music. Just their moments together of realizing that they can use their real names. They no longer have to say different names. Yes. They can be who they are and have this fresh beginning. My one qualm is while they were zooming out, I just wanted to see Fergus and Marcelly being like, we're cool. We're here. Just wave at the camera, because I was like, you're panning out. You could have easily shown this ship. I just wanted to make sure they were okay.
Yeah, I think
he only has one hand.
Seeing
the
ship would have been great.
Right? I was just a little worried. Did anybody get hurt? Where's their surgeon? 4 miles away. So that's the only thing, because I loved the shots. I loved the excitement. I just wish I could have seen our family.
Right.
Who are now Frasers.
Or like how about this? How about the family, the husband and the wife and the daughter that are there? They're just like, all right, guys, later.
Do you need some water?
Yeah, keep drinking.
Would you like a towel?
Beer, then water. Beer,
how
then
about
water.
Some shampoo?
Like,
no.
Like, seriously, they're just like, all right, later.
Like, this is actually what happens in Georgia every day. Yeah. It's like what we do when we see jellyfish, and we're like, oh, there's a jellyfish. There's another jellyfish. They're like, there's some stranded people. You okay? Good. Okay, bye.
Hey, you sucks know? To suck, bro. See you later.
But I really did. I loved that they were able to use their real names.
Right.
You think about how long that Jamie was in Edinburgh and using a different name or just being called a different name in jail, but also how long Claire had been called Claire Randall.
Right. Or even
and I mean, yes, that's her one of her names. She has so many names. But now they can be who they want to be.
Or go back to A. Malcolm when he says, hey, you're Claire Malcolm now. You know?
Too many names.
Way too many. All the names.
They can be who they want to be. So I'm excited about that.
Me
now
too.
Let's move further back. Let's go to that storm.
Okay.
How did you guys feel about the cinematography of that storm? How it made you feel just visually, how did you feel about the storm? Yeah.
It was good. The CGI, I was worried. I was worried that it was going to be cheap. And not to say that I don't have confidence in the production. I do. But considering what we had seen in the previous scenes with Galus in like that weird, creepy pool of water.
The Veil of Time from Harry Potter?
Right. Oh, hey, you know what? Oh, my goodness.
Did anyone else feel that way? Is Sirius Black going to jump out? Harry.
No. You're a wizard, Harry.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, and then weird dead Galus, and it just seemed like
Barbie.
Like the first half of the production for this episode was just, it felt like it
they
was
spent
lacking.
It on the storm,
exactly.
And I'm totally happy with
me
it.
Me too, me too. And that's probably why you saw what we saw. That's probably why we saw the pool of water the way that it was.
It's all just, good.
You know, it was. It you know, it is what it is.
How did Jamie swim down to her? She was being pulled by the gravity of this giant ship piece, this mast. He is so... What'd you say? It's impossible, but not for James Fraser.
Because as we all have explored on this podcast...
He is the king of men. And he still had some oxygen. It wasn't all carbon dioxide.
Jamie is Superman.
Okay? He is.
He and Outlander have a Superman problem. And it's the truth. We've said this on the podcast.
I know. But I was down with that scene. And then seeing the behind-the-scenes footage made me feel even more excited about that scene.
Did anybody else get a, like, and I hate to say this, but it's the truth. Did anybody else get a Twilight feeling out of that scene? Seriously, when Bella jumps down into the sea and then Jacob comes in and
I like...
I
that you're the one that felt this way.
Say it out loud.
Oh,
seriously.
Yes.
Like, that was... That's what I got out of that.
Okay. I could feel that.
It happens. It happens. But I quite enjoyed the imagery of what they were trying to accomplish. Claire sinking down and even having these feelings of like total calm. And like I actually talking about the perfect storm again. I remember reading in the foreword when they were describing the feeling of drowning. And I mean, I don't know how these guys know what it feels like. I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, the guy was saying, oh, you know, I wasn't panicked. I wasn't going crazy. It was, oh, man, I had tickets to a Red Sox game the other day, and I can't go now. What the hell? You know? Or the little things like, oh, did I turn the oven off? Like those things that are happening. And Claire saying, I was just lifeless. I was not in my body anymore. And you know what? I was okay with that. I was okay with feeling the way that I was feeling. And because of that, you get a real sense, again, Matt Roberts, a serviceable job. He did an excellent job with the back half, giving you that tone and giving you that idea, that blocking of what Claire was going through. You had an exact feeling of what she was going.
Was anyone else nervous about sharks? No? All I kept thinking is there they are floating in the middle of the ocean. I love Shark Week. I love Shark Week. And they're floating in the ocean. Thank you, right? Yes. They're floating in the middle of the ocean, no ship in sight. And all I'm like is just, you better float fast. You better float fast. There's sharks in them waters. They were fine. So, okay, moving further back.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the cave.
No, we would be in the sex scene. Right
oh.
Now.
Excuse yes. me.
How could you
Excuse
dare skip? You just yada
me.
Yada yada over the best part.
I know. I didn't mean to before my great. Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so my mom's gone. My mom has left the building.
Is she? Sandy, are you here? No, good.
That was really weird to sit like 10 feet away from my mom. And it wasn't even like they showed things.
No.
Because many of you have heard the podcast episode that I had to explain to my mom how a man can orgasm through
oh my God.
Sex through a different orifice. So I had to explain this to her, and it was very awkward. And
hey, you're laughing. You're getting upset with me talking about stuff on Facebook Live, and you're talking about that.
I'm not using profanity. Facebook will
That's
be
true.
Hopefully okay with my big words.
Okay.
So it was a little weird because I was like, I don't know how she's going to react to this. I'm glad he didn't use any fruit imagery.
It's like cherries.
Might be the worst line I've ever heard on a television show. I'm not going
to lie. No, it's hysterical. But that, the bit by bit of him just breaking it down and them talking to each other, I just wish he had a little bit more stubble because I was like, really? That's all the stubble you got? But I'll work with it. I'll work with it.
Are you saying he wanted to be more like
he
me?
He needed a little Miracle-Grow. Just a little bit of Miracle-Grow right there. but gosh, these two finally got to be playful. They finally found
right.
Wee Ian. They're back together. They don't know a storm is coming. But, you know, what blew me away is how quickly they were able to think about leaving each other in the cave to go save Bree, just like they left each other at Culloden. Like, that was it. It wasn't even a question. Mm-hmm. It was what happens, like, yes, you go, you do what you got to do. Like, we need to go save Bree. That's number one priority.
Mm-hmm.
And now they killed Galus, and Bree's still okay, and they're okay again. They were just giddy, and I just absolutely adored how much time they gave this scene, how they really let it breathe,
yep.
And how the actors just looked so snuggly.
They did what they
looked
had to
so
do.
They so snuggly and beautiful in this scene.
A couple of things in this scene that I felt. One,
I do not make squeaking noises.
Yeah, you do, Claire.
Someone's asking how it was only 4 days. How many? I'm just used to a thick. They were referring to Jamie's beard. Someone's asking. I'm just looking at your beard. You grow your beard very quickly.
Yeah, this took like 3 weeks.
No, it didn't.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Because someone was like, he only had 4 days to grow his beard, and I'm used to a thicker beard, so that's all.
I'm going to leave that one alone. I was going to say that's what she said, but she did.
Continue. Sorry.
When Claire says,
I do not make squeaking noises.
Yeah, you do. And you know what? It's cute as hell. It's cute as hell. And it reminds me back to something that actually Kendra said on the podcast a few weeks ago. When you, as intimate partners or a married couple, whatever, when you can be playful.
While you're rumpy pumpy.
And while you have some rumpy pumpy. If you can have playful rumpy pumpy, then that is the, in my opinion, the apex of any kind of intimate relationship. And seeing both Claire and Jamie, hashtag claimy, seeing them.
What? Stop the hashtagging and the knee meddling.
I didn't say it. She said it like 2 years ago. I'm just bringing it back. Thank you, Teddy, for bringing that back.
I don't need it.
When they are acting the way that they do, it's great. I mean, as a married guy, I see that. And like, that is a very good definition of what I want my relationship to be. So hopefully my wife could laugh at me as...
Do I have the roundest buttocks you've ever seen? What?
There is no right answer here.
The answer is yes.
I'm going to say
right?
that...
Do you want a round bum? I want Claire's bum.
I don't want Kim Kardashian level. That's weird.
That is weird.
That's like...
That's pretend. That's pillow.
Yeah.
That's a pillow. That's fake. F-A-K-E.
But ultimately, what it comes down to is I really feel like this is the apex of their relationship. And being able to experience that with them, and this is the Claire and the Jamie that I remember, that I want to see, and going and consider the arc that they've had this entire season. We've gone from them being like really pensive, and Claire even saying, I think I made a mistake. I think I shouldn't even be here anymore. And then to have that juxtaposed by the end, which is, you know, talking about round bums and laughing with each other, yeah, and the whole scene and the plan.
It's been a great voyage.
That's been a great voyage for them.
There you go.
So I really liked that. Although, one issue I did take, we went from cutting heads off, and then the next second, having some rumpy pumpy.
Listen, who said it? That, like, wasn't there some, I don't even know where it was, but like, there's nothing like having sex after you go to battle. Right? Yeah. Yeah. It was Jamie. Yeah. Right? See? Claire was all about it. She was like, I just killed. I'm ready to rumpy pumpy.
Did she say it exactly like that?
Yes.
No, but do you remember the scene when she killed the guy in season 1B and she has the PTSD? And that's when she actually runs back to the stones. And we were all like, well, she has PTSD. She's doing crazy things. Why wouldn't she run back to the stones, you know? And she has the same exact thing happening again with the machete in her hand. You see it, blood dripping, her hands shaking, and all of a sudden she goes from that to being like,
hey, she changed.
Hey, girl, hey.
She got her mind off of it.
I don't know. I feel like that totally, like, and this is the problem. Should the episode have been longer? Should it have been longer? Yes or no? Yes. And I know you're all saying just because you love Outlander, but I'm saying it because there just wasn't enough time. There wasn't enough time. There wasn't enough time because they had 46 million things to do. They had to kill Galus. They had to talk about all of the mythology.
So now you know why we're all saying, how are they going to do this in 13 episodes? All, everyone who's read the books, we were like, wait a second, 13 episodes for Voyager? How are you going to do that? And then a couple episodes ago, we were still like, how are they going to do this with three episodes left? What's going on?
And this is why, this is the problem that I had with the Galus storyline. Because it was introduced last episode. We've gone through all this. They had the build up. We forgot completely about Wee Ian. Remember, not young Ian, Wee Ian. We forgot completely about him in the doldrums and the other couple of episodes. And here's Galus. Oh, Ian's back.
I didn't forget about Ian.
And I'm just talking on the story level. And now we have to resolve this immediately because we have to get them to Georgia. And I feel like Galus got the short end of the stick in this episode. And she got the short end of the stick in this entire season.
That doll was the short end of the stick. That poor face.
That doll was a stick. But do you understand what I'm saying? And this is why I had a problem. I didn't love the first half as much as the back half of this episode.
Well, what I can tell you is, you know, it's interesting. We have a few people here tonight with the vendors who have not watched all of Outlander. And so I was watching this episode thinking about these people who have seen season one and how interesting it would be to have just watched season one and then to watch tonight's finale and how it actually laid out Galus and how it laid out this. And yes, we didn't know Bree, but they kind of filled that in like, yeah, I had a baby. Like, I was thinking about these vendors who could have watched tonight's episode, mm-hmm, getting all the back data filled in, and how fun it would still have been. So even though we haven't had Galus in this season, we've had her since the beginning. And I think that that is completely fine, that she has been this dark little snake hiding all along that we've got a little distracted by in France, the season that shall not be named.
Season two. commandment number two, by the way.
But I actually think that it I would have loved more time with Galus.
Yes.
I love to hate her. But
the one thing I can get on board with Galus was her rationale and her motivation, as twisted as it was. Not the whole Wee Ian thing and killing boys and sacrifices and this and that. That is what it is. Okay. It's great cannon fodder for the show itself. And it's great to have, you know, them at odds with each other. But that's just plot. That's a plot demand. Plot demands that they be at odds. And how do they do that? They get Wee Ian involved. But the real character moment that we got out of Galus, and what really made sense to me, what rang true, was What have you done? Why have you been pursuing me all these years?
Mm-hmm.
Why have you done every single thing you can to make my mission not succeed? You've been stalking me, and all I want to do is put someone on Scott, a true king, on the throne, and you, an English woman, have been preventing me from doing that. Now, think about that. Think of how twisted and self-centered and how...
But she's the only other time traveler she's ever met.
And that's what I'm saying. She is sitting there stuck in this for 20 years. And she looks at Claire and says, you are my enemy. You have done this to me. And I'm going to get back at you. The young Ian thing. Yeah, you know what? Whatever. Who cares? I'm going after your daughter. Because F you. And because she's the 200-year-old baby. Oh, by the way. You know. Bam! I called that too.
I almost don't want you to see the season 4 preview because I feel like some things have been so beautifully spoon-fed to you. And by beautifully, I mean not really beautifully because it's been so obvious.
Yes. Which is one of the other things too. I said this last episode, the prophecy and the sci-fi elements of this show has prided itself on being relatively grounded. I mean, we're talking about a show where a woman goes through stones 200 years and goes back into Scotland. I get it, okay? You can't expect too much logic from a show that does that, when that is the main crux of your television show. But when they start introducing this prophecy and when they start introducing all these other sci-fi elements, tell me, my love, how does it make you feel? Does it make you feel like they're getting away from what makes the show work, or are they leaning into what the show should become?
You know I'm on the five-kilt train, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm all about this life. I don't complain.
I know
much.
You don't.
So that's how I feel about this. Mm-hmm. All right, Keith. I'm moving. This train's moving.
How about Gayla saying we have a responsibility to change history? Why? Why is Claire responsible to change history? Why is even Galus responsible to change history?
Because were the chosen two that she knows of that got to travel through time. I'm not saying she's wise. I'm not saying she knows what's up. But I agree with you. I would have loved a little bit more breathing time with Galus.
Right.
To really get into this cray-cray mind of hers.
Now, you all know how much I loved the Uncharted thing when they're all going through the woods. And like I was like, oh, this is the most interesting thing the show has ever done. Like one of the things, you know. I actually really liked it, and you're shaking your head, and I appreciate that. I get you. I feel you. But I understand why a lot of book readers and a lot of listeners and a lot of show watchers are frustrated by that. Because would I now sacrifice 5 minutes of that
jungle
love, you know, watch like the whole thing? Fire? Would I sacrifice some of that? Yeah, you're damn right I would. Because when it comes to Galus, the whole thing, in my opinion, the cutting the head off and dealing with her, it was so we got to get there. It fell flat, which is why the emotional payoff was at the end. Because you think they've been building up this young Ian thing, they've been building up the whole Galus thing, mm-hmm. and now here we are.
They had
to move too quick.
That's okay.
It happens.
It does.
It happens.
And I still love it.
I really loved, though, when Claire was walking towards the pool, and it was almost out of her control. Did you guys get that sense? It was out of her control. And if you recall back to episode 101, she was going up to the stones, and it wasn't, at least to me, necessarily clear why she was. She was just like, oh, wow, look at that stone.
She was just drawn to
cool.
it. Yes.
But they didn't do any of that. It was just kind of, hey, here's the stone. I'm going to touch it. It was almost like she was entranced. It was mm-hmm. almost like she could not help herself. And because of that, it's beyond her control. It's beyond anything that she's capable of. It's just that is time, that is fate, that is destiny calling to her. And it takes the man she loves to be holding her hand, grabbing it and saying, come on, let's go. Come be with me. Come get the rest of our lives together. And that was beautiful. That was very special. That was the one thing I really loved from that cave scene. That was gorgeous. Thank you.
I always get a little sad that Jamie can't hear the buzzing. Do you guys feel that way? And then I'm like, but what happened in season 1, episode 1? I don't understand, because we all know, or at least we wish, we hope that that's Jamie. So when does he get to hear some buzzing? Because I want that to be Jamie. I want Jamie to travel through time at somehow.
There's no chance Jamie is traveling through time. Not a chance.
Do you know, what?
So Mary was just told it was his ghost. So
where ghosts. Are these tarot reader people? They need to talk to me. Do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in ghosts? Oh, he's saying yes.
He's
okay.
Like, yeah, man, I do.
I'm really scared of ghosts.
I chill. We have a couple beers together.
I'm scared of ghosts. I just want everyone to travel through stones.
All
I'm sad now.
I actually have an outlandish theory of the week.
How did you feel about the Craig Nadun on top of a cave, which was more like a hill hobbit hole?
It was hokey, 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 hokey.
Did Galus build that? Did Galus build the Craig Nadun on top? Because she was like, maybe it needs to have stones. Maybe it needs to have gemstones. Maybe it needs to have blood. She just wanted everything. She was like, and I'm going to cross my fingers and my toes. I'm going to do one of these things, the double cross, because I'm going to make sure everything is all set. I just felt like it was a hobbit hole and Frodo lived inside. That's not what I think of when I think of a cave.
Potatoes.
So before we get to the cave,
yes.
Of course, we have the dance and we have Margaret and we have the chicken bleeding and the crocodile head, which looked so gross.
Mm-hmm.
So sorts of gross.
And drinking blood and stuff.
And a really creepy death scene that was like quick. And I didn't feel great about it.
No.
I felt so awkward because everyone started stabbing him. And then why did he have blood right here, right on his mustache area? What was that?
Who are you talking about? Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
I don't remember him having
a mustache. That's the thing. That's all.
No,
that's...
they like cut him like right here. And I was like, what are you doing? Why are you giving him a mustache of blood?
Oh, okay. All right. I understand what you're saying now.
Yeah. Okay. That was all very quick.
The guy just shows up out of nowhere. He's like, oh, hey.
No, he was working for Galus, so they were there.
No, I know.
And she was doing this whole magic frou-frou stuff going on.
Right.
So he was there with Margaret. Okay. They were rip-raring to go with the stones and all sorts of things, and Hercules was there to protect them.
Yes.
And they needed to be there. And then, I just, it moved so quickly.
Right.
The stabbing, and I didn't understand the stabbing, and then the mustache blood threw me off for a second. So there's this whole extra bit in the books that you get to understand about this whole bonfire sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, did anyone feel like it moved very fast? And you were like, what is going on? Yeah. It was a tad clunky. I felt like there is stuff in here that I don't understand. I'm not supposed to understand. I'm kind of down with it, but it was too much thrown at me at once.
And then, and on top of that, then you're thrown into this thing with Eaten Cho and Margaret, which I think is wicked cute because they're both seers. They're both powerful in their own way. And for them to actually have somebody to share the rest of their lives with if they go to Martinique, awesome.
Except like, great, last week dude. I said they're not going to fall in love. I'm not shipping them. So I get the brrrr, brrrr, brrrr sound. I was like, they're going to be best friends and totally get each other and be pen pals. No, they fell in love in how many days? Two days? One day?
No, it was actually like an hour and a half.
We are soulmates.
And listen, I think it's cute. I think it's great. Great for them. Like I like happy endings. But when you start throwing that on top of the stuff with Galus and you start throwing that on top of with Archibald Campbell and all them things, it's like, whoa, you're throwing 50 million things at me, which is why, again, the front half of this episode was to like, even last episode, when they were bringing up the prophecy and they were bringing up all the things, it's like, as a non-book reader, I'm like, I have no background in what they're trying to accomplish with this show and or with this season. And I'm like, what? There's a prophecy and Galus is part of it? Like, what? But a lot of people ask me, Blake, what should I look for when it comes to direction? Like, and I'm not saying that I'm the know-it-all. I'm certainly not. But this episode,
you're not.
People do ask me
love
this
you.
Question.
As I matter love of fact, you many things.
As a matter of fact, I had a conversation earlier about the technical aspects of this show. What should I be looking for, and what does it entail? And again, serviceable job by Matt B. Roberts. What he was trying to do, if you remember, they had the scene with the voodoo dancing, they had the scene with Eaten Cho, and they also had the scene with Claire and Jamie. And he's intercutting every single scene with each character, and he's trying to create tension.
I was tense.
I know you were. I was next to you.
And then at the first time I saw it, I was like, there was a lot that I just missed that I remember from the book. Was that a dream? Nope, that was in the book, but stuff just was really skipped forward. Okay, well, I guess we're going to the cave. And then the second time, I was like, all right, you know what? I would be like Claire and Jamie, like, I don't know what's going on over here. They're eating chicken blood and doing crazy stuff. We got to go. Mm-hmm. We got to go. So I was okay with leaving because I felt like the characters would want to leave that situation for multiple reasons and they needed to save their daughter.
You're right.
So it was okay not staying there. I was okay not seeing what happens when you drink chicken blood. I was like, we need to go save Bree.
In order to get that effect of getting to the cave and in getting to Bree, in order to actually feel what the characters are feeling, Matt Roberts employs this quick cutting. And you know who's really good at this too? A side note, Christopher Nolan, the guy who directs Batman and Interstellar and Inception, all those films. He uses this quick cutting because think of you yourself when you are moving out of your control and you're moving fast. You're like, oh my God, I'm going here and I'm going here and then I'm going here and then I'm back here, then I'm going here and I'm going back there. You feel like, whoa, like this is a simple trick to create that tension. If you feel like as a director, you're not getting that out of your writing. So you do it visually. But then again, more imagery here culminating. This whole scene culminates with Itencho snapping Achi's neck, right? Boom, done. And then the guy in the voodoo dance, at the same time, bites the neck of the goose or the swan, whatever.
I don't know. I called it a chicken.
The chicken duck.
There's a big chicken. That chicken was huge. That was like a turkey chicken.
And then...
That's not my size chicken.
And then the coup de grace.
A turducken. It was.
Eventually, Galus... getting her head chopped off. Where? At the neck. All of that was all neck related. And it was all brought to you by Matt B. Roberts.
Look at you.
Hey.
So we already talked about the Claire and Galus conversation. Can we move on to Lord John Grey?
Oh, please? Before we. Yes, I totally agree.
Please,
but I do want to call out Denise, okay? Because Denise.
Calling you out. Uh-oh, look at her. She's all nervous. She wasn't ready for this.
That all the music during the voodoo dancing
yep.
reminded her of Bear McCreary's work on Battlestar Galactica. Mm. The big heavy drums and everything.
Yep.
And when you start looking at it like that, it's like, yes, I totally am on board with that.
So say we all. Mm-hmm.
So thank you. Thank you, Denise. If you have not, any of you, watched Battlestar Galactica, literally leave this room right now. And go watch Battlestar Galactica.
That's what you could do with Droughtlander.
Yes, because it was a Ron Moore show.
Silver Lining.
And it's in my top five favorite shows ever written. And it also has the greatest female character ever written. Yes, even better than Claire, in my opinion.
What?
And that...
No.
Yes.
No.
That is Starbuck.
No.
Yes. 100%.
Well, in your mind.
I'm saying, yes, that's okay. You can hate me. It's fine. It's just... listen, fact, not opinion. It is what it is.
So, Lord John Grey, let's get to the real thing that I want to talk about instead of Starbuck. Okay, yay! Lord John Grey, Lieutenant Captain, throwing all of... I want Judge Judy, but Lord John Grey. That's all I want. I want to watch Judge Judy hosted by Lord John Grey with him sitting there just smacking people left and right. Whatever. I'm not going to listen to you. He was so...
Can you see him with the little doily
fantastic
things right here on the black
even,
robe?
I don't even know. His curls are perfect. Everything was perfect. I love that he didn't even like ask Jamie, did you do it? I mean, maybe they did that off camera at some other point, but I just love how he was just giving it left and right. And he knows his stuff. What a brilliant man. What a brilliant man.
Him
I loved that scene.
Laying down the smackdown on Captain Leonard, even like putting down the Navy, was fracking awesome. It was awesome. And then my favorite bit was, thank you, Lieutenant Leonard. It was like very pointed and F you.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Get out of my house. Get out of Jamaica. You know, you don't got to go home, but you can't stay here.
It made Jamie being captured okay. Because really at the end of last week's episode, we were like, really? Okay, this is what's happening? This made it okay. Because we were able to have a little bit of Lord John Grey in the finale, and what a scene with him.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it. I'm forgiving Jamie being captured. So we had to spend a little bit of time in there. So good. So, so good.
Yes,
can I just give major props to Wee Ian?
Sure.
I loved his acting. I know it was so small and minuscule in this episode, but him giving all sorts of nastiness to Galus,
mm-hmm.
I loved it. And speaking of Galus, there was tea when she met with Claire. Was anyone nervous that there was tea drinking? There wasn't. You. Did they drink tea? What do you think? Because I didn't see any of this, but I didn't know if tea had already been drunk. Drunken? Did they already have tea? Let's word it that way. Let's be safe.
Would it not have been great if they called back to the scene with Ian and Claire and drinking
tea? They had tea. They did. They had tea.
Oh, I know.
Like, next to them.
I think it would have been phenomenal for them to build on that imagery.
I think that's the whole point that I'm trying to make, is there was tea next to them. And I'm sitting there saying, are they both drinking the tea? Is no one drinking the tea? Because Claire, I don't think Claire had that tea. Claire knows all too well about Miss Galus, but I loved that there was tea there. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm getting at. You feel me?
I feel you, bro.
Where else do you want to end up?
One thing I also wanted to talk about, too, and I know I said it was surface book, but lots of dolly work from Matt Roberts in this episode, too.
Elaborate.
Dolly work. When you have a camera
and
you put it on an arm or you put it on tracks or you put it, you know, whatever, if it goes pants up or if it goes out or in, whatever. He was doing this and using this as a technique to tell you everything that is happening here is much bigger than Claire and Jamie. And where we are going is much bigger than Claire and Jamie.
A whole new world. Shining, and, shimmering, splendid.
And this is no more evident in the fact when they are in the eye of the storm. Again, suspension of disbelief. I'll go along to get along. But he pulls way, 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 way out. And you see the actual storm. And then literally in the eye and saying, this is going to get crazy. And then we actually have them pulling out again as they're walking out of the jungle. You see when he's hugging both Wee Ian and Claire at the same time, Jamie is pulling back out of the jungle.
Hug.
Oh, it was so cute.
That hug.
I must hug you now.
Oh, my God. They were just both so nuzzled.
So
love it. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Because we wanted to remind you that this episode of Outlander Cast is brought to you by BarkBox. Okay, so we all know that there's like these delivery services that are available now that can be gifts for people. And BarkBox is a delivery of 4 to 6 natural treats and super fun toys curated around a surprise theme each month for dogs.
Hey.
I love it. So how it works is you choose the dog size. You tell them if they're small and cute, just right, or big and bold. And then you get to choose the plan. And this is an amazing gift for yourself or for a loved one who has a dog. You can have a 1, 6, or 12 month plan. They are all available. You can cancel at any time. There is free shipping. I love free shipping. I don't even have a dog, but I might do this because it's free shipping.
Mm-hmm.
And they are shipped on the 15th of each month. That is so good.
And for non-doggos, like my girl Ann over here, she ended up getting one of the Bark boxes, and each package is actually tailored to the size of your dog, and it's all made by that company, and it's all organic good materials for your pet.
So maybe it's your son or your daughter or a friend who wants a monthly surprise for their beloved pup. BarkBox, it's the perfect gift for this loved one. You can give it for a friend or a family member. It's an exciting way to gift, and it includes toys and all sorts of cute little treats. It's just a fun way to give a gift to a friend who might really love their pup, and because that pup's going to feel pretty darn lucky.
Because dog people love their dogs.
They do.
Super love their dogs.
And their dogs love them, too, and they're just going to thank them all up with their doggy kisses. So you can find out more by going to BarkBox.com/OutlanderCast for a free extra month of BarkBox on a 6 or 12 month plan.
Okay. Ultimately, I ended up really liking this episode. I did. Even though I gave it a 4.3, I did like it. I felt like it was not as good as the previous two finales did. Like when I watched the season 1A and season 1B and then the season 2 finale, I felt like, whoa, like we are going all out here. Like, do you remember that scene in season 2 when Claire is looking out and she's at Castle Leoc and you see Jamie in the little arch and you're like, oh my God.
That's not what I was like.
Wait, what were you like then? Because that's how I was.
I wasn't like this.
Well, I was.
I was like this.
Yeah. I didn't get that feeling. I didn't get that, like.
What about Georgia?
Georgia was very good. Georgia, the hug was great. And the head-to-head thing, I agree. But I just felt like this was it was good, but it wasn't as good as the previous three, I guess, finales. That because Outlander has always given us a very good finale so far, and I'm happy with where we are.
I love this finale. Don't hate. You get 4.3.
All right.
You love that hug. You love Georgia.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready for the Kendra Thought of the Week?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get it done.
Hey, Mary and Blake and everyone watching live. We finally made it. I remember when I read the end of Voyager, my head was just spinning. So much was happening. We've got sex, voodoo, chicken blood. Wow. I'm in the middle of a rewatch to get a better perspective on this episode, but my full enjoyment of this finale is hampered by the fact that we've simply run out of time in an already jam-packed season. I love all the elements that we get, and with a bit more breathing room, this all would have added up to a 5-kilter for me. But the first half is so rushed, it's hard for these moments to truly sing. There's been much debate about the dialogue in the love scene. The thing is, I think some of it does work, but much of it doesn't. The text needed some alteration because, Jamie, Claire does not squeak. She pants asthmatically, not just in the throes of passion, but in large chunks of this episode as well. The best moments, when this episode really shines, were in those moments where we stepped back from the frantic pace. The image, and amazingly, the voiceover of Claire sinking beneath the waves and Jamie's rescue was just stunningly moving. From that moment to the end, the episode was transcendent. It reminded me of the experience of watching Moulin Rouge for the first time. Mm. Baz Luhrmann edits the action in such a way that the whole thing feels laced with speed and LSD, to the point where you wonder just how much longer your senses can withstand the onslaught. And just when you're about to mentally check out, Ewan McGregor starts singing, and suddenly the film begins to soar.
Mm-hmm.
This ending gave me a similar feeling of tension and release. But for me at least, it happens much too late. There are normally more nuggets for me to latch onto in these episodes, but even now, completing the rewatch, I felt like I was being skimmed and skipped across the surface when I should have been fully submerged. Overall, I wasn't swept away. My kilt rating, and I've debated with myself on this, is a 3.9.
What?
Whoa. David Barry was once again great as the Lord John Grey.
Yeah.
The cinematography was stunning, including the sweeping shot of the quote-unquote Georgia coastline, but as a viewer, I felt like Claire on the deck of the Artemis, desperately groping for something to cling on to amid the melee.
Wow, that was even rougher than me.
Thank you, Mary and Blake, Ashley, Janet, and all of the amazing, inspiring writers on the Outlander cast staff for providing us all with such joy and intelligent analysis and, frankly, hilarious commentary all season long. To the clan, we'll get through this. Be kind. We're all marooned on the same foreign shore.
Aww.
We can do this. Until next time. Sayonara from Japan.
Hey, there we go. Thank you, Kendra. Thank you. Even though she was rougher on the episode than I was. Wow. Woo. Bringing the heat, bringing the hot takes on this episode. I'll take it. My darling, are you ready for the Outlandish Theory of the Week?
Oh my gosh, you have one.
Yes, I do. Of course I do. Why wouldn't I have one?
And you haven't yet seen the season for a preview, so I actually am very excited to hear this. The preview's not much. But would it spoil anything for Blake? Because, oh, good.
Okay, good.
You can watch it later and we won't have to fear.
Good. All right. So this Outlandish Theory of the Week is brought to you by Celtic Eternity. Please visit CelticEternity.com and get 10% off Celtic and Scottish rings with the coupon code OUTLANDICAST, all one word.
All right. There you
go. You ready, Marvin?
Yes.
All right. Let's do it. Now, I haven't talked about one thing in this episode, and I did that by purpose.
Uh-huh.
I did that when Margaret was talking with her prophecies.
I know, we skipped that on purpose.
About what was happening and the bunny and everything.
You deleted it in our Google Doc, I noticed.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really cool. But one thing that really happened that actually was actually really cool was Bree coming out of Margaret. And this is my outlandish theory of the week.
Bring it on, bring it on.
Brie is coming into the picture next season.
Look at you.
Not in Boston.
What?
She's coming back through the stones.
Oh.
Garen freaking Teed. And they've been alluding to it. And because she has the lineage of Claire's thing, that she hears the humming and all that other stuff, she's coming back. And guess who's following her back to?
Who?
Roger.
Oh my God, Boston cream pie.
Boston cream pie.
Will they bring one?
I know.
Will they bring one?
They probably will bring. They're going to need a lot of food.
Right.
But Roger's coming back, and the reason why they're coming back is because somehow, some way, Brie ends up discovering that her parents were involved, in my opinion, in the American Revolution. And she sees some bad news that's coming down their way.
Interesting.
And she's like, I got to go rescue my parents. The same way that Claire was like, I got to go rescue all the Scots at Culloden.
That's not why she went back, but okay.
Well, you know what I mean.
Okay.
She was trying to...
You're just saying that Brie's going to find something?
She's going to find... She's going to like... She's going to end up... It's going to be the same thing with Claire. She's going to know the history, and she's going to be like, I need to change this.
I'll give you an interesting.
Yes, that's right.
I'll give you a big interesting and a little interesting.
Charlie, what do you got for me,
medium
buddy?
Medium interesting.
Mock me.
Please hang up and try again.
All right. Marvin.
Yes.
Final thoughts.
My final thoughts is that I had a lot of fun in this season.
Yep.
I know it was wild, and I know that it threw the fantasy of Outlander into the completely outrageous mystical and travel realms, and I had fun.
Yes.
I had fun with some of my lovely favorite characters. I had fun seeing them go on this voyage. I had fun watching visually this show this season. Like, visually, I just kept saying, this is gorgeous. This is beautiful. Like, mm-hmm. if I had the sound off, everything, if I didn't know what it was about, I think it was absolutely beautiful to watch. And I can't wait for season 4. Can it please come tomorrow? That would be great, right? Right? So,
no,
but I just want to thank all of our clan and all of our attendees who have come to the live party. It has been such a joy to celebrate in Outlander and to chat about Outlander with all of you. It has been awesome. I know we're on Facebook Live, and thank you for people who are watching on Facebook Live. This is just such a dream come true to be able to chat with others about such an amazing show and books.
Yeah, girl, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. For me, my final thoughts is this. I actually had a chance to rewatch some of season 3 last night as we were having some of the staff was here because of the snow, all the other things. But we had a chance to rewatch season 3, and we watched The Battle Joined. And I was like, I was watching, I was like, this episode is so fracking good. Like, when, and I got to say this, Black Jack Randall reaches out to touch Jamie. Like, that was special, mm-hmm. dude. That was special.
It was haunting.
This whole season, there have been a lot of special moments. But The Battle Joined was terrific. And again, this season, there's so much to love about it. And when I think about it most, we talked about Lord of the Rings earlier. This season reminds me of The Two Towers. Did you guys ever watch The Two Towers from Lord of the Rings? Like, there's a lot of cool stuff that happens in Lord of the Rings, Two Towers. There's like, but you don't really remember any of it because all you were trying to do is to get to the Return of the King. But like, that one really cool thing was Helm's Deep. And you're like, oh my God, Helm's Deep is the best thing ever. And that's how I feel about this season. I feel like this, like Ron said, this is a really transitional season. Where we end up is where this story is going from now on. And I'm super excited to see where we end up in the United States. I'm sorry, well, in the colonies. And I just have that Helm's Deep moment of The Battle Joined. Good. And I just thought that was awesome.
I know
awesome.
You love early America, so this should be fun.
That's what I got my major in.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
I know.
All right. That's our final thoughts.
Yes. You ready to close out this BAFTA-nominated Gandhi Peace Prize-winning show of Outlander Cast?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's close it out.
We're moving up in the world.
Gandhi recognizes us now.
Wow. want to give a big thanks to all of our patrons, especially Peg, Anne, and Bobby, Carolyn, Tara, Sharon, Tracy, Lisa, Meredith, Amy, Christina, Sue, Keelan, Meredith, Liz, Dana, Nikki, Michelle, Jennifer, Lauren, and Heather, and Marilyn, and there's so many more, and we just want to thank you all so much for being patrons of this Outlander cast.
Right. And thank you to the live audience here. Everybody, give it up for yourselves. Putting up with my blathering for an hour and 5 minutes. I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And it's been an absolute pleasure and honor to watch this show with you and even podcast in front of you. And for the podcast listeners, you too. From the bottom, I've said this before, from the bottom of my heart, I cannot thank you enough for putting my bride and I in your ear. Your ear is a very personal space, and mm-hmm. we get to share that with you. Mm-hmm. And thank you to my staff, to our staff, to Outlander Cast staff, to making all of this happen. Oh, man, it's great.
We're lucky.
We're so lucky.
So just know, I said it earlier to our attendees, but if you have something that you love, that you're passionate about, that brings you joy, to really reach out and know that there are people out there who love the same things that you do. And it might take a little while to find them, but they're out there, and you may have to travel through some stones, but there's people out there who are going to become your friends, who are going to become your family, who are going to become your soul sisters. And I am just so thankful that within even just 3 seasons of Outlander, to see the friendships that have been created, to see the communities that have been created. So just much love to you and your loved ones during this holiday season. And thank you. So my name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.